Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:49 British Summer Time. Today is April 16th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. First, let's have a review of what's been happening this week. And the first 4 days of the week were characterized by really quite impressive gains, particularly yesterday on Wall Street. But today we've seen some profit taking, and markets have been rallying consistently for the last 10 weeks, a number of them up 9 out of the last 10 weeks, some up even 10 consecutive weeks in a row. And a large number of markets had become overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. That classification could also be said of a number of instruments in the commodity complex. Particularly in the precious metal sector, you had palladium and platinum, or indeed in the industrial metals, aluminium and nickel particularly have become relatively overextended compared to their moving averages. And this has been a remarkably favorable season for risk assets generally. Today we also saw that the US dollar was a bit firmer against a large basket of currencies, against the Canadian dollar by more than 1 cent, against the Australian dollar by just under 1 cent, and against the euro, the dollar was stronger by about 68 ticks, and against the pound just under 1 cent. So the dollar also strengthened here today. US Treasuries were up by just under 1 point, and elsewhere in the commodity complex, we saw that gold was down by $22. Oil continues to pull back from its most recent high in the region of $87 and finished out the day in the region of 83. So it's been really quite steady, but has been pulling back over the last week, perhaps 10 days, from that incremental new high that it had posted. So the general environment that we have right now is of a large number of risk type assets which have become comparatively overextended relative to their moving averages in the short term. But if we take a step back and look at the bigger picture, we continue to see that the vast majority of stock markets and industrial commodities remain in these medium term uptrends. And albeit that they have become a little bit overextended in the short term, today's downward dynamic and a couple of key reversals in some of these stock markets probably indicates that we're moving into a reversionary type environment. So that suggests that short-term risks have probably risen, but the likelihood that this is going to morph into anything other than a similar reversion to what we saw back in October, when a large number of markets had also become overextended relative to their moving averages and began this reversionary process. There's a strong likelihood that we're going to see exactly the same thing happening, assuming that today's pullback for stock markets is the beginning of another reaction or potentially medium-term correction. To question the medium-term upside potential, and we define medium-term as anything from a couple of months to a few years, to question medium-term upside potential for some of these stock markets, indeed most of the stock markets out there, we really would need to see them sustaining moves below their 200-day moving averages and breaking the progressions of higher reaction lows, or indeed, to go even further, they would need to break below their 200-day moving averages, encounter resistance at those averages, and for those averages to turn downwards. That would be really categorical evidence that these medium-term corrections have, or these medium-term uptrends have run into some serious trouble. And there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that that is the case right now. What we do have is that the persistent advance that we've had since the February lows, when so many indices had pulled back to their moving averages, has become a little bit overcooked. And for so many indices to have been up 10 weeks, 10 consecutive weeks, It was beginning to ask questions. And with the Dow in the region of 11,000 and the S&P in the region of 1,200, these are psychological levels. And it's a natural area for investors to begin to ask the question as to just how much further these markets are going to go, having already gone up so much in such a short period of time. So the likelihood has increased considerably that we are into a more reactionary type of environment. But you also look at something like the S&P, and it's currently down in the region of 1.5%. It paired its decline somewhat, but is closing out the day much closer to the lower side of its daily range than the top side. And it does suggest that there's at least some profit taking at the end of the week, and follow through next week would really suggest that the remarkably consistent advance that we've had in the last 10 weeks has become inconsistent. This is the first downward dynamic we've seen in almost 2 months. So that does raise questions, and it raises the risk profile in the very short term. But what it also suggests is that we're probably now looking for the next pullback towards the 200-day moving average, and looking for the next good buying opportunity in what remains sound medium-term corrections. The positive earnings that were expected by so many in this quarter have been coming in ahead of expectations, and that's good for stock markets in the short term. But over the medium term, it does also raise the potential that interest rates will rise that little bit sooner, and that also has investors worrying in here. When we look at the commodity complex, with the precious metals not so far away from their highs, and gold up there well above $1,000, with oil having hit $87 earlier on today, and industrial metals also having run up really quite considerably over the last couple of months in particular, and nickel up now to 26,000, aluminium knocking on the door of its highs, copper in the region of $3.50, and lumber continues to trend consistently higher. We're seeing that industrial commodity prices have pushed upwards, that the precious metal prices have, either in the case of palladium and platinum, been surging higher, or with gold holding on to the majority of its gains. And food prices have begun to recover, with the meat prices, and I'll post a number of these charts in comment of the day today, but meat prices are hitting 13-year highs in the case of some of the pig products, and cattle products are also up there at 6 and 7 year highs. So the and there is also the fact that you've had grains which have been basing at comparatively high levels compared to what they've traded at historically for much of the last 18 months, and soybeans has just moved into backwardation, and it suggests that there is potential for these to at least rally back up towards the upper side of their base formations, and potentially even higher in the case of leaders such as soybeans. So inflationary pressures are mounting in from the commodity complex. Now, we're certainly not seeing inflationary pressures in wages in the OECD, and probably not in house prices for a good long while yet. But we are starting to see that commodity prices are pushing upwards. And in high growth areas, we've Singapore revalued its currency higher, which is Singapore's equivalent of raising interest rates. And that was just this week, and an increasing number of countries in the in Asia Pacific and Latin America have been raising interest rates because inflation is showing up there first. These are economies that skirted the worst of the credit crisis. A number of them didn't experience recession at all, and they've been some of the first to bounce back. So we're seeing inflationary pressures pushing upwards there, and that has been that has led to interest rates being pushed up there first. Investors are looking at high growth areas, and they've been voting with their feet and moving cash away from low growth, slow to recover OECD countries into high growth emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America. And that's been evident from the remarkably consistent advances that we've seen in some of the emerging market stocks, but also by the corresponding advances of their respective currencies. And I don't believe it is advisable to look at the performance of stock markets divorced from the performance of the respective currency, because such a high degree of correlation has developed, particularly since the fourth quarter of 2008. And we continue to see that some of the best performing stock markets also have some of the better performing currencies. Now, the US dollar was stronger in here today, and but not in a dynamic fashion against some of those better performing currencies, which suggests that even though we are probably moving into a reversionary type environment, that large amounts of capital are not being pulled out of the stock markets. The pullbacks that we have are dynamic relative to the kinds of advances that we've had or declines we've had in the last 2 months, but they're not so large as to be OMG moments for oh my God moments for investors. So there's nothing scary for medium to longer term investors in what's happened. In bull markets, medium term bull markets that go on for a number of years, we expect to see markets becoming temporarily overextended, retracing part of that overextension, building support, and moving on again, reasserting their uptrends. And if one has picked the big picture, longer term themes correctly, then you would occasionally expect to see some of those instruments moving into an accelerated advance and outperforming really quite considerably on the upside. And we have seen that to a certain extent with some of these better performing markets, such as Indonesia or Brazil, or indeed Argentina. A number of those Latin American countries have not only moved on to new all-time highs, but have improved upon that performance really quite considerably in the last couple of months. Now, they're probably in need of some rest and recuperation after racing to those highs and really quite quickly. But there's nothing there to say that we've hit anything other than a short to medium term high. That the worst case scenario, I continue to believe, is that we're in potentially moving into a reversionary type environment, and at the very least, some of the consistency that has built up over the last 2 months has been questioned in here today. Longer term, there is very much a two-tier world at the moment, because we have debt to GDP ratios rising in the USA and the UK and in large parts of Europe, where we have massive fiscal tightening and retrenchment in the consumer base. And those aspects of those economies are just not evident in large parts of Asia and commodity producing Latin America. They don't have the same deficits. A number of these countries are running trade and current account surpluses. And they have also been among the best performing stock markets, currencies, and indeed bond markets since the 2008 lows. They were also among the leaders. And that's all indicative of the change of focus among global investors, because they're not only following growth, but they're following the better balance sheets. They're following the better margins for business. And they're looking at the greatest urbanization in history unfolding, hundreds of millions of new consumers entering the global economy, and demand for the trinkets that we take for granted in the first world is continuing to rise. And that goes for everything from toothpaste to automobiles. It is also interesting that some of the Asian car manufacturers, particularly in Korea, who also have a specialization in battery manufacture, have been some of the better performers. And the ways to play this great urbanization continue to remain that it's either going to be by investing directly in those countries or in the companies that generate the majority of their earnings from the growth of the global consumer base. And in the UK, in the USA, and in Europe, there are large numbers of companies that benefit directly from the expansion in the number of middle class people that will be consuming those types of products. We have seen that food processors have been some of the best performing shares over the last year, not only because of their defensive qualities, but because they're directly leveraged to consumption in Asia particularly. And they remain sound recovery candidates. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to sit out any correction that unfolds completely unscathed, but if we are entering a new medium-term correction, that does suggest that once we've seen these markets pull back towards the 200-day moving averages, that we're going to be back into a sound buying opportunity for some of the better performers in this medium-term uptrend, which remains in really sound form. Now, while interest rates are beginning to rise in some of the better performing economies, they are not rising and have yet to rise in most of those most affected. And if you look at the yield curve charts that are in the chart library, and that's the spread between the 10 and the 2 year on sovereigns, you'll see that far from tightening policy, the USA, Europe, the UK, and Japan have continued to loosen, and the spread between the 2 and the 10 year continues to expand. That is helping the financial sector, who are being bailed out via the yield curve, but it's making monetary conditions extraordinarily accommodative. And that's supporting stock markets all over the world because that amount of money is flowing into assets just about everywhere. So, provided we remain in this environment where monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative, and markets have, at worst case, become somewhat overextended in the very short term, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and risk assets will continue to outperform. Now, gold remains in a somewhat difficult scenario because while it was top of the pops when we had so many of these markets quite depressed, and sentiment towards risk assets generally was really quite abysmal, gold was a major outperformer and was one of the first two to bounce back. But it has encountered competition from other assets in here recently, and continues now to range in the region or just below the $1,150 level, and it really does need to sustain a move above that area to really indicate that demand is regaining the upper hand. Today's downward dynamic, which was in the region of $23, has capped the advance in the short term, and it would need to be countermanded in very short order to really suggest that gold is about to push on to new all-time highs in US dollars. Of course, it's already there in some of the weaker currencies, such as euros and pounds. But against some of the stronger currencies, it really does need a catalyst. And what that exactly is isn't quite apparent because the main buyer has been the investment buyer of late. So gold remains in this somewhat difficult scenario, but also has sustained its move above $1,000 really quite impressively, and remains still very much within this secular bull market. The oil complex is also continuing to trend higher, but in a quite a gradual fashion, and the fact that it is continuing to pull back from its most recent incremental new high is a bonus really for stock markets. Oil has been performing more or less in line with global stock markets for much of the last few months, and is pulling back now that stock markets have encountered a little bit of resistance. But provided we don't have oil surging to the upside and really pressuring inflationary measures, then that's really a bonus for stock markets. And government bond yields remain, I think, the elephant in the closet, because particularly in the UK and the USA, where they've been hovering in the region of 4%, that's sort of a yellow light for the stock market advances that have been ongoing now for much of the last year, and 18 months and counting for some of the better performers. If we were to see a widespread loss of faith in the ability of the UK or the USA to cover their debts, then that could push yields up in short order, and the respective governments wouldn't have an awful lot of control over that. But that really would be to indulge the absolute bearish prognosis or hypothesis that are out there. And we just can't allow ourselves to forget that both of these countries can print their own currency. So the chances of a default are zero. And the likelihood is that with the incredible amount of supply that is out there, that investors will gradually begin to demand a better return. We've seen that to a certain extent already. But provided the economies continue to recover, and particularly provided they don't pull back into a double dip recession in the short term, then there's probably we can probably remain reasonably sanguine about the prospects for both the UK and the USA. And it is also interesting, of course, that that Wall Street has been among the better performing stock markets in US dollar terms over the last year. Now, I think if you were to put it into Australian dollars or Canadian dollars, it probably wouldn't look quite so hot. But it's outperforming the European the majority of European indices. And for investors that invest only in Europe or the USA, which are really the two big capital markets, that's an important outperformance. So in summary, we remain in this favorable environment where monetary conditions remain really quite accommodative, but markets have become somewhat overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. And there is, I think, the strong likelihood that we've entered a new reversionary type environment, which for some markets is going to look like a ranging consolidation and allows the moving average to catch up with it. Other markets are likely to pull back somewhat faster. But provided they find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the medium-term upside. For traders, this looks to be at least a short-term peak. For investors, I suppose what the message David has been making over the last week is that if one were nervous about positions, the best time to be selling is after a good rally, and we have certainly had a good rally. But for longer term investors, I certainly won't be selling any of my longer term positions. And because these medium term uptrends remain very much intact, we're likely to be presented with a good buying opportunity in the next few months as they come back to their 200-day moving averages. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.